You are listening to Metro.
Why, hello there. My name is Metro. It's nice to be with you today. Thank you for taking a few moments to join us and waste your time here. So it was back in 2005 that I actually went and started working for a radio station by the name of 94WYSP. Legendary station, 40 years, as you may have heard. And tomorrow it's done. 3 o'clock. Over. It's a place that has played a huge important part in my life. Memories that I will have for a lifetime, as well as friends and a girlfriend. You know, everything I have right now is basically because of the time that I spent in 94WYSP. So I want to take a few moments to reminisce and kind of give it its due. But I hate doing it by myself. So that's why one of those friends, Chris Johnson, who is the promotions director at 94WYSP, I want to give him a call because I hate talking to myself.
94WYSP, the rock you grew up with.
Hi, can I speak to Chris Johnson, please?
Yes, hold on 1 second.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
What's happening?
My name is Metro.
I know that.
I got to talk to Jerry for a brief second.
Oh, it was only a brief second?
Yeah,
I don't believe that.
Only a brief second. I got to see, as I was walking home last night, there was a little get-together for the 94WYSP staff, which you were absent from for whatever reason.
No, I was there for a little while.
Oh, I didn't see you.
I was there until 6:30.
Oh, well, I got there about 6:30.
Oh. Must have just missed you.
As I was walking home from that, filled with a bunch of beer, I saw Jerry, the receptionist at YSP, having a conversation with Jim Donovan from CBS3, who does the Consumer Report stuff. So I can only imagine what was going on there.
I'm sure that was a brief conversation as well.
It was definitely a meeting of the minds. I'm sure it has to do with household cleansers that she doesn't like. She told me last night that whenever they made the announcement and they had the big meeting that 94WYSP was done and that WIP was taking its place, I was walking home from the parking garage and I hear screaming from a car, "Metro! Metro!" And I look and it's Jerry, the receptionist. So I wave and I say hello. So last night at the party, she tells me, "It was amazing. On the day that we found everything out, that's the day that I saw you and I was screaming to you from the car. And it was like you were like a godsend, like an angel just kind of walking by."
Don't you miss that every day?
I do miss that. And the big thing with Jerry and the thing that still exists around my house between Paige and I, who I met at YSP, was that every Friday she would say, "Happy Friday, Yahoo!"
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that still exists.
Tomorrow will be the last one.
Yeah, the very last Happy Friday. How are you doing with everything? Because you came, when did you start at YSP?
I started at YSP 2006, October 2006.
Okay.
So it would have been just about 5 years coming up.
Yeah, so I started there in December of 2005, and it was right when they were stopping the Howard Stern Show. That went off the air in January.
Right.
And they had just started this whole free FM format.
Yeah, I got here during the legendary Free FM days.
Yes.
By the time I got here.
Was David Lee Roth still on the air when you got there, or was he gone already?
No, he was gone. He only made it a few months, I think.
It's interesting, as they're doing this tribute to the alumni of WYSP, David Lee Roth conspicuously not included.
You know, I just found a big poster of him in the closet yesterday.
You know, I still have that same big poster sitting in the attic of my parents' house. It's giant, and it says, "Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, no wonder we hired him."
Right.
And then he got fired shortly after because it wasn't sex or drugs or rock and roll. It was just his Uncle Manny.
Yeah.
and a bunch of other stuff. So I remember meeting you at the first day that you worked the Barsty show remote that we did from Chickie and Pete's.
Yeah, at Chickie's and Pete's, right before, it was a Friday before an Eagles Cowboys game.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, let's see, 2006. So T.O. was gone. T.O. was a Cowboy.
That's right.
And whether he had taken the pills or his manager had taken all the pills or something, because I'm sure this was your genius idea, to fill up a large container full of some kind of pills, probably aspirin,
right,
but still some kind of pills, and to win the Eagles tickets, the attendees of your broadcast would have to guess how many pills were in the giant container.
That's right, because T.O. had drama queened out and had almost OD'd on pills.
Yes.
And was very upset about it, so we had to guess that. Now, the thing that I can say now that I couldn't say back then is when I first started at 94 WYSP, it was with the Barsky Show. We were on 9 till 1 and then 9 till noon. So 9 until 1 with the Barsky Show. And those live broadcasts that we would have to go and do were the worst because no one's available to hang out and like drink and party with a radio show from 9 until 1. They have to work.
Yeah, a lot of people are at work. And then, of course, you leave as soon as people leave work for lunch.
Yes. So the best part of live broadcasts with the Barsky Show were the last 15 minutes because that's when people showed up.
Yeah.
And I remember that one specifically. We were out like outside in the cold at Chickie and Pete's, and it was just us and this one bartender that hated life because he had to be there at 9 in the morning.
I loved it because it was my first day at a full-time job, and first I was like, well, this is the broadcast. This is the Barsky Show. This is Barsky, who I'd grown up listening to on Y100.
Yeah, I mean, that was cool for me, and that was the reason really why I came over there is because I grew up listening to Barsky. I was a Dead Guy in the Envelope fan.
Yep.
And all of that stuff, and then they're like, hey, do you want to come work with him? And I said, sure. It was actually weird because I was working at Greater Media before I came to YSP. I didn't actually work for MMR, but I worked for that company. And I was there the day that YSP announced that they were going to Free FM, and I saw them all popping champagne in the hallways. Be like, yes, thank God that station's done. It's over with. We're free and clear. And then I went there like 2 weeks later.
No,
but it was an awesome time, and it was cool to work with Barsky, and had so much fun on that show. And you know, you were there for all of those broadcasts that we did, and we did a ton of promotions and a ton of live broadcasts for a show that no one would come out to the live broadcast. We did a lot of them.
You did so many that we named a whole month Barscrewery.
That's right.
Because yeah. You would broadcast at least once a live broadcast from outside the studio at least once a week.
Yes.
That entire month.
If you think that nobody goes to a bar from 9 until 1 during the week. No one definitely doesn't go to a ski lodge.
Well, there was a ski lodge. There was, what was it like, Split Eagle Shopping Center?
What the hell's the name of that? It was something Eagle Shopping Center. The shops, I forget what it was, but it was out in the middle.
Red Eagle? It was something like that.
Yes.
That was like a Christmas party or something.
Yes, we had our
in February.
We had our Christmas party at a shopping center.
In February.
Do you have, of all the years that we went and did events together, do you have one that really sticks out in your mind that was a favorite for you?
Honestly, I loved the first one. I loved the Chickies and Pete's, the pills and the thing. I mean, as you were saying, it wasn't the most attended thing, but to me, that one sticks out the most because it was my first one and because it was my real introduction to full-time radio.
The one that I remember the most from the Barsky Show is there was an auto show appearance that we did where we broadcast live from the auto show, which, again, from 9 until 1, not that heavily trafficked.
Right. Well, the auto show doesn't open until noon, by
right.
the way.
Right, yep. So that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
And I was so sick, and while I was there at YSP, refused to ever take a day off.
There was a party the night before.
Was that what it was?
Yeah. I think it was Connie's birthday party the night before.
I just remember being really, really sick, and I remember being hopped up on so much cold medicine that I was just crazy. I was out of my mind, and I remember yelling stuff to the female security attendant and getting in trouble for that. But I was famous for going on these weird Robitussin trips during the Barsky Show.
Do you remember who made their first appearance live on the Barsky Show that morning?
Yes, I do. That is where we found Frank the Voice.
Well, I talked to him the night before, and I'm like, listen, you got to come to the auto show tomorrow. You have to. And it was just, and you guys had no idea who he was. He was just this guy standing there. I mean, you knew who Frank the Voice was.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know what he looked like, and you didn't know that he'd come armed with about 100 balloon animals.
The cool thing about Free FM was the listeners were characters, and you got to know them a lot more because you were talking the whole day. So there was a lot more opportunity for listeners to be there. And Frank the Voice is definitely one of my top three favorite radio characters of all time. And he was a guy who looked kind of like a murderer. Looked like he just got done a really furious Dungeons and Dragons game, but he had this voice that was just, hey, it's Fred the Voice, and that's the way he talked. Like,
he was perfect for radio
constantly. And I had some fun with him on the Barsky Show, and then eventually with the Kid Chris Show, we ended up doing a bunch of stuff with him. after the Barsky show, then everything kind of blew up, and you were there that day when Free FM officially ended.
Yes, that was a tough day. That was a tough few weeks, because I was told a few weeks before it all blew up, because I was starting to order banners and T-shirts and tents and redesigning the vehicles and all that stuff. So, I mean, I was let known that the same day that they told me that I'd gotten a promotion. So that was very bittersweet.
Yeah, here's a promotion. We're going to fire a bunch of your friends.
Yeah. I was like, oh, well, this is radio, I guess.
Yeah, that was a weird time, because it was out in the paper, as these things often are. If you ever want advice on your career, go to Dan Gross if you're working in radio, because he knows stuff about your life before you know stuff about your life.
Yep.
So I remember it being in the paper, and there was a couple of weeks where everyone was wondering what was going to happen, and then eventually it did, and they informed everybody, like, one by one that would go in and have the meeting.
Yeah, pretty much the rest of your show was fired.
Yes, the whole Barsky show was fired.
But then I remember you, for like the next month, you kind of still hung out in the Barsky show office.
Yes, by myself.
By yourself.
Yes.
I wasn't really sure what you were doing. Sometimes you put drapes over the window so nobody could see in.
Yep.
You locked the door fairly often.
Well, that was another part of the Barsky show that I miss is, and... It was a good time in that, along with the Barsky show, was the Barsky Babes, which was a very creepy time in my life, because the whole concept of Barsky Babes is we would have listeners, female listeners, come in, and they would do their own personal photo shoot.
Right.
And I would be the one in charge of taking the pictures. I don't know who gave me that assignment, but whatever.
Now, this is a good question. On your resume,
yes.
Do you list photographer?
Yes, I do.
Good. Okay.
Yes, I do.
Making sure.
I'm an accomplished photographer.
Okay.
That's why I've sent it out to Hustler and to Judge and every other magazine, because that's all those pictures were.
And oh, yeah. 100%.
It was an awkward situation, because these girls would come in, and the whole concept was, okay, you got to take sexy pictures of these girls. Well, these girls aren't models. Like, they don't know what's going on. So
right.
It was basically once or twice a week, a girl would come in, and I would try to talk her into taking off her clothes so that I could take pictures of her for a radio station website.
Yep.
I miss that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. I'm in a fully committed relationship, and those things are the furthest things from my mind.
Right, and you were not in a fully committed relationship back then.
No, I wasn't. So that was the Barsky show, and then that version of YSP blew up, and then The Rock was back.
Yes.
And the only thing that survived from the Free FM days was myself from the Barsky show, and then they kept the Kid Chris show around, too. So we did that for a little while.
And O&A was still in the morning.
Yes, that's right, because O&A had launched a couple months before. And then they came to town, like, right when that flip happened, didn't they?
Yeah, they were here to announce that The Rock was back.
And what was that? That was, like, a comedy contest at the factory?
No, TLA.
Okay.
It was weird. Like, the one thing that stands out from that live show at the TLA was, I don't know if everybody played like a game of truth or dare, but we had sent some of our interns to get the grossest foods they could find.
Oh.
And I don't know if people were eating them or drinking them, or if they just had to like get them poured on their head or something. It was really weird, really, really weird. But then they came back that afternoon, and along with Kid Chris show, they announced that The Rock was back.
Right.
And so, then Welcome to the Jungle played, and the rest is history.
Yeah. How many incarnations did we launch with Guns N' Roses? I feel like all of them.
Well, that's the other thing, is if you're looking to get into radio, if you ever hear Welcome to the Jungle, something has changed.
that's the sign?
Yes.
If you see Appetite for Destruction laying around the office, you better start sending your resume out to a couple places.
Yeah, if Welcome to the Jungle plays, then you know that you're at the beginning of something.
Right.
If Journey plays, then you know it's time to go.
Right. So then we did the Kid Chris show for a little while, and that whole era only lasted a couple months, right?
It seemed like years.
Yeah, but it only went from November.
Yeah, mornings went from November till May.
Right. Yes, and then there was a an incident, and some things happened, and then that show went away.
Yes.
And then I went through a weird period where I didn't have a show, but I had a job.
Yeah, you were, I think your job was, you were chasing Emma Stone.
Yes.
Around the country.
Yeah, that's when my obsession with Emma Stone began, and I got to talk to her a couple times, because that's when Studio 94 kind of took shape.
Yeah, Studio 94 was great.
So with Studio 94, I was in between radio shows. The Kid Chris stuff had happened, and Danny hadn't come yet, and I didn't even know Danny was coming at that point. I was just in this weird holding pattern.
For you, they kept you around between each show because they knew that you were a great producer and wanted you to produce whatever show was going to be there. So to your credit, you did a great job here.
Thank you. I truly appreciate that. And look, I mean, none of those events would be what they were if it weren't for you.
You're not to say that.
No, it's true. I mean, I came up with the pill counting idea, but the rest is pretty much yours. But, yes.
All these in-between phases, Metro kind of just found himself an office or a room or a closet or whatever he could get his hands on that it was just him and kind of did his own thing. And Studio 94 was one of my favorite incarnations of you doing your own thing.
Studio 94 was this weird kind of six-month period in between shows where I just did a stupid podcast for the website. And I turned, it also in typical fashion of me, is I took a studio and I commandeered it, and I moved a couch in there,
mm-hmm.
and we got a plant.
Yep.
And again, we blacked out all the windows.
Yep.
And that became my little lounge, and people had no idea what to do with it.
Well, and what you didn't tell guests is that they weren't going to be on the radio.
Right.
You used your 94 WISP email and booked guests for your Studio 94 segment, not telling these guests that it wasn't live or even recorded for the radio.
Which caused,
it was just for the internet.
Which caused problems with a couple of them.
My favorite being Dwight from The Office.
Yes, Rainn Wilson, who played Dwight on The Office, had no idea where he was or what he was doing. He thought he was going to do a radio show, didn't realize he was just sitting in a studio with me and a plant.
Right.
And was not pleased about it whatsoever. And that video is still around if you want to watch it.
That's a great video, especially when he realizes
that,
so this is just for website content.
But to his credit, once I sat him down in Studio 94 and gave him the illusion that we were doing an interview for the radio, he was okay. I don't know if he'd ever come back, but he was okay. So then Danny came, and lots of great times with the Danny Bonaducci show, lots of cool events. That's where, you know, you and I started Neighborhood Hotties and ended up at a weird bar in Delco each and every week.
Oh, that was, yep. I'm not even gonna. Yep, that was Neighborhood Hotties.
Yep, the original concept for Neighborhood Hotties that we dreamed up was that we were gonna go to a different area of Philadelphia. It's like, hey, Philadelphia is all about neighborhoods. Let's go to a different neighborhood each month and find the hottest girls there.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with this, the background and the behind the scenes of radio, is a lot of it's driven by sales. So when they can't find a bar in the area that you want to go to, you just go to Delco again.
Yeah.
And you have to come up with new creative ways to do Delco's Neighborhood Hotties. Then it becomes the sports hotties and the Halloween hotties. And,
oh, yeah.
And hotties that wear eye makeup and hotties that might have some kind of disease. It just has to keep cycling through because you just go to bars in Delco over and over and over again.
A couple different versions of the Summer Shore edition.
Yes, definitely. Because once we said, hey, maybe we should stop Delco, they go, okay, well, how about we go to Atlantic City three or four times? All right, I guess so. Here it is. It's done. Is there one thing, you know, outside of events and everything, is there one thing that you will definitely take away from you and your 94WYSP experience?
Well, the people.
Yes.
And not even necessarily the people on air or the people that are here now, but, I mean, the people that were here when I started and made this job fun and made the station what it was. Diane, Karen Gill.
Yep.
Even on the sales side, Eric Ekins, Merkley, Dave Rowan, Josie. I mean, they made it fun, and they welcomed people as soon as they got here.
I said last night I was on with Gordon for his very last show, and the one thing more than anything that I'll take, I have a ton of memories from that place, and it took up a huge chunk of my adult life. Like, I was 23 when I got there,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, after like 5.5 years. The thing that I'll take away more than any of the memories is the friendships. It's truly, like, I feel like I have lifelong friends that I have that I would not have if I didn't spend time in 94 WYSP.
Of course.
So, and I mean, that goes to you and that goes to Gordon and a lot of other people.
Yeah.
It's definitely, you know, it's something that we will always have, no matter what. And radio stations forever will come and go and will be a part of your life and then in and out of your life. And then someone will play Welcome to the Jungle and you'll have to find a job. But the thing that's important is the friendships that you get out of it. And look, even beyond friendships, relationships. And have an amazing one right now that I met there while she was working in sales. And like I said, that and the people that I know that I will be friends with for the rest of my life because I got to share that experience of being at that radio station.
When was your final show on the station here?
They hadn't even announced it yet because I went away for vacation for a week.
Oh, right.
So I missed the last two Saturday shifts that I would have had. So I never really
got to do
a last shift. Yeah.
I was going to ask what you played for your last song, which you probably don't even remember right now.
I'm sure it's by Def Leppard.
What would you have played for your last song?
Oh, God, you know what? I don't know. And that's so much pressure because I watched Gordon struggle with that last night as far as what he was going to do for his last song. I don't know what he ended up picking. I want to go back and find out. I'd play Welcome to the Jungle just to screw with the order of things. Well, look, it was a fun little chapter in my life. I hope it was for you as well.
Of course.
And you're going to be still in the CBS radio system, so I'm going to be seeing a lot more of you, which
I'll see
I like.
You in Bala.
Yes, we'll be here in Bala Cynwyd. If you want to talk to Chris or I, we are here in Bala Cynwyd.
To Bala Plaza.
You can get your car washed in the basement, get a bagel on the plaza level, and come up here and see Chris and I on the 7th and 8th floor.
Bye, Metro.
Bye.
You are listening to Metro.